Travel has certainly changed over the years, and not just because of security concerns after 9/11. Free meals are a thing of the past, as are checked baggage without a fee. But there are ways to get around some of those newer costs, and we're happy to have Rick Seney as a resource. Rick is the CEO of FareCompare.com, and he spends time with us regularly to help you plan the best air vacations while making sure that you're a smart traveler as well. Rick, great to have you with us again.
Hey, good afternoon. Good to be on again.
Yeah, and you know, it's feeling like spring, and so it's a good time to think about traveling. But boy, seeing all those fees can really kind of take a little bloom off the rose. You have an article on FareCompare.com right now that's called "No, You Don't Have to Pay Any Airline Fees." That sounds promising, but
yeah,
it's not quite as clear cut.
You don't have to. A lot of people don't do it, but let me walk you through a few of
them.
Certainly, the one fee that people don't realize probably that aren't as computer savvy is there's a phone call fee. So if you call in, it's anywhere from $25 to $35. So if you get a human involved in the shopping process, they're going to charge you for that.
Wow.
In some cases, when you want to change your ticket, they're going to charge you for that phone call as well, which we'll talk about a little bit about change fees in a minute. Certainly, everybody knows about the bag fee by now, you would expect, right? It's the summer of 2008 when we saw the first bag fee. That's when oil prices spiked. They said they had to do it because oil prices spiked. Now that oil prices are down, guess what? They're not going to take those fees away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many ways to get around the bag fee. First of all, you can actually carry on. That's the easiest way. There's branded credit cards that you can get. Usually the first year is waived on the actual card itself, the fee for the card. So you can get those bag fees there. American Express, for example, refunds up to $200 in fees charged by airlines if you have that sort of card.
Oh, okay.
If you achieve elite status, they typically waive those fees as well. So just like you can, you know, trying to find airline tickets and picking the right exact time to get that cheapest ticket, now, you know, getting bags, there's several ways to get around that as well.
Well, and also, are there any airlines that let you check a bag for free?
Yes, Southwest does,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like JetBlue, at least for the moment, still does, but that may be go away. So it looks like Southwest will allow you still to do the first and second check bag fee. Now, they haven't been touting that as much lately, so I got a feeling there's
a fuse
on that sometime. I think their investors want them to. And by the way, those bag fees in the United States alone are about $3 to $4 billion in revenue.
Wow. And you talked about the change fee. I have to say, I have not gotten stuck with a big one, but I was shocked when I actually looked, because my memory from, you know, several years ago was, oh, maybe $50, $75. It's like $200 to change a ticket now.
We had a huge set of increases back in 2007, 2008. It used to be $50 to $100. Now it's $200 for domestic and $300 for international. So you're buying that, you know, international ticket for $1,000. The change fee is $300. And that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is typically when you're changing, there's some sort of emergency.
Right.
So you have to pay the difference in the ticket price plus the change fee, and usually that ticket price is much higher when you have to get it later in the game. So it's actually one of the most onerous fees that are out there.
Well, and is there a good reason for the airlines to charge that much?
Well, you know, honestly, you paid for the seat and the ticket, whether you sit in it or not. That's my complaint about it. It's sort of like you bought the seat anyway. You didn't do it. They're saying that they could have sold it for a higher price and they gave it to you early on. That's their argument. I don't buy it too much.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Rick Seney of FareCompare.com. He joins us just about every month to share his expertise and advice for air travel, and you can join in. We actually have open lines at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Michelle Good, our on-air producer, will be happy to get you queued up to ask your question of Rick. Now, you talk about a phone fee also. What is that, and how can we avoid it?
Yeah, that's basically calling in and making a reservation, in some cases making a change. Now, if you're in the middle of a snowstorm or something and they're changing your ticket, mm-hmm. they usually waive those fees. But in essence, what's happened today is that if you want to talk to a human, and there's fewer and fewer humans involved in air travel, there's fewer phone folks that are out there, there's fewer people at the airport, they're just going to charge you a fee if anybody gives you any sort of human-oriented help. So
Okay. Just
be aware of that. You will be shocked when you're on the phone with them and they go, well, I'd like to do that for you, but could I please have your credit card?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly is not something that we would have expected a decade ago. A food fee you talked about.
I mean, you know, for the most part, airlines, you know, we've gotten rid of peanuts almost everywhere, except for Delta now is bringing them back. So with those huge profits, we have peanuts back on airplanes. So, you know, when you're looking at the food fees, all the airlines now are trying to charge you a variety of fees for food while you're on the aircraft, especially for flights that are over 3 hours. There's tons of tips that we have on there on how to bring do-it-yourself food products. I know you probably have talked about this anyway, and I was just listening to the olive oil segment. So
probably can't bring a lot of olive oil with, but you also talk about just bringing an empty water bottle that you can take through security and then just fill it up at a fountain.
Yeah, if you can get the water bottle through security empty-wise. Now, it's really interesting to see. I've seen people do this all the time. They just fill it up once they're inside. So there's many ways to get around these things, and some of the restaurants that are inside some of these new terminals are about half the price, and they do have some heated food carriers that you can take on the plane as well. You know, if your flight's under 2 hours, it's probably not as big a deal, but anything that's over 3 hours, you might get peckish.
All right, let's go to the phones, and Eric in Madison is up first. Hi, Eric.
Hi, I had a question. Maybe Rick could just give some insight into the situation. It was a business trip that my boss had purchased tickets for a number of us, and kind of the last minute, I was unable to make the trip. But the airline would not allow them to change the name on the ticket so that another employee could actually use that ticket, even though it was already purchased. What they did say is that we have a year to use that, the cost of that ticket, I guess, for another flight, as long as it has my name on it. But they wouldn't change the name. They wouldn't let anyone else use that ticket. I'm completely perplexed by why that is.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, historically, tickets are the equivalent of money historically. It was sort of like a check back before we had electronic tickets. And, you know, you wouldn't want somebody to change the name on your check. And you certainly, the other reason is because the TSA has a matching list. And if they allowed changes like that, they'd have to rematch it. So what the airlines have basically done, as you just noted, is you will get up to, in some cases, 10 to 12 months to reuse the remaining portion. Remember, minus that $200 fee, by the way.
Because they charge
something you have to be really careful about. If you miss a trip and you do not call and cancel it, you lose the entire value of your ticket. So even if you're going to miss that trip and you just say, I'll just blow it off and I'll pick it up later, you have to call and cancel it. Otherwise, you lose all the residual value of your ticket.
All right. Well, sorry about that, Eric, but, you know, maybe Eric can take a trip then instead of his coworker.
Well, the good news is that it's on his name, right?
Exactly.
His boss paid for his ticket, so now he has that. If you have the electronic ticket number at the bottom of that ticket, he can apply that to any other ticket he wants.
All right. Thanks for that call, Eric. And let's now go to Janie in Madison. Hi, Janie.
Hi.
Hi.
I am making a trip to Manchester, New Hampshire in late June, early July. And I'm traveling with two little kids, and I'm trying to balance convenience with cost. So I'm wondering about advice on which airport to travel out of and other tips for, I guess, that issue.
All right, so late June.
Yeah, so late June. So let me give you a couple tips on sort of the best practices for buying a ticket. For domestic tickets, you typically want to start shopping about 3 months before departure. If you shop any earlier than that, the airlines really aren't releasing any of their cheapest seats, and you don't want to buy any later than about 30 days before departure. So it's a pretty big window of time. The earlier in that window you start to shop, the better. So you're getting close to that window right now, you know, being in mid-March now. So I would start to look at that trip and start shopping right now. Now, there are some cheaper days to fly. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, the three cheapest days to fly. So if you can at least do half your trip on those days, you'll save some money there. And another couple interesting things is that the best time to shop is Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We studied tons of different data. About two-thirds of all sales occur Monday night, and all the other airlines match Tuesday morning, and then you see the maximum number of cheap seats Tuesday afternoon. And typically the sales last about 3 days, so you have a three-day window to buy there. And specifically for Manchester, if you're flying out of Madison, you know, the typical price is in the, I'm looking at our data, around the $410 $410 to $415 round trip range. That's a little bit high. You're basically paying a fee for going out of a smaller airport. You should be able to go, if depending on which airport you're closest to, you should be able to, the next bigger airport would probably be in the $360 to $370 round trip range.
So maybe Milwaukee?
If you're, I'll look, take a quick look out of Milwaukee. You're looking at ranges right now, in the low 300s, and some even in the $270 round trip range.
Wow. Well, good luck with that, Janie. Is that helpful?
Yep. Thank you.
Great. Have a good trip. And similarly, Cindy asked, do you think airfare will go down from Milwaukee to Denver on May 23rd to 25th, which that would be Memorial Day weekend? She says right now it's $250.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it right now. I don't expect it to go down much.
Seems pretty good, especially for
bad.
A holiday weekend.
The cheapest it's been, actually, for that time frame. I've seen some prices in the low 200s, but that's not on Labor Day weekend, and that's on Frontier. So the one airline that tends to discount on that route is Frontier Airlines. They have a nonstop out of Milwaukee. So I would be keeping an eye on Frontier. They sometimes will slide in there. And in fact, I'm looking at, it's at about $235 right now on Frontier.
Well, that seems like a pretty good deal.
That is a good deal. For domestic tickets, anything under $250 right now is a pretty good deal, especially for a flight that's around the two-hour mark.
Well, and also I would think, maybe I'm wrong, I would think that Memorial Day weekend, those long holiday weekends that lots of people want to get out of town, would the prices generally be a little higher?
They would generally be slightly higher on Memorial weekend. It depends on what days you go. If you do the perfect trip, right, where you want to leave Friday right after work and come back Monday to take advantage of the Monday holiday, you can be rest assured those ticket prices will be higher. Mm-hmm. But if you left to Saturday, came back, late in the afternoon on Monday, or left Thursday, for example, and made a four-day weekend, typically you see the price much cheaper.
And one thing that when you were giving our caller some kind of the best practices, one thing that you say, too, is you can knock down the cost of a flight quite a bit by not taking a direct flight.
Yeah, right now, it's absolutely crazy what airlines are doing with nonstop flights. So we're seeing some routes. I was doing a radio show in Los Angeles where the connecting flights were half the price of the nonstop flights. They're basically charging for convenience, and there's a lot of people that will pay for that convenience of not having to connect. So look at those connecting flights. I know it's painful for some folks, but if you live in Madison, it's tough not to connect anywhere.
That's very true.
So it depends on where you are, but definitely take a look at those connecting flights, especially if you're traveling international. One or two connections can be way cheaper than direct flights.
And that means more money when you get to your destination. Rick Cini is the CEO of FareCompare.com. He's with us right up until 12:30. We're going to take a quick look at the news from NPR and WPR, and then we'll be back. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Please stay tuned. Travel is such a fun activity, but sometimes the stress and hassle of planning the trip and trying to get a good flight at a decent price can make it a little less enjoyable. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rick Cini is the CEO of FareCompare.com. He helps us navigate the world of airfares and keeps us informed of trends that he sees in the industry. Rick, always great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's always fun.
It's a lot of fun. Well, I want to, before we move back to the phones, and we do have several people, not surprisingly, who want to pick your brain about their upcoming trips, I have another useful article on FareCompare.com that's about the American Airlines and U.S. Airways miles program merger. And what people should know. What should people know if they're a member of one or the other or both?
Or both, yeah. So they gave everybody about a year's worth of advance notice, actually more like 18 months or so of advance notice. On March 20th is sort of the last deadline. That's why we're a day before here, where you can actually do some connecting of those accounts. So if you have not logged into your accounts, and I know that American and U.S. Airways aren't the most popular in sort of the mid-northwest area, but if you do have those accounts, log in and make sure you tick the checkbox once you log into your account if you haven't been in there a while, so that you'll have those things connected. Basically, if you're a member of U.S. Airways, ways, you're becoming a member of the American Advantage program. They're moving everything over one for one, so you didn't lose any value there. The credit card for U.S. Airways is changing, so they're swapping out the new branded credit cards. Barclays was their card. Citibank is the American card.
Right.
So if you have those cards, just check and make sure all that new stuff is coming your way. But for the most part, you have another day to do that. You can do it after the fact, but tomorrow's the deadline.
So really, the deadline is really for people that are part of both programs.
In essence, to connect your two accounts.
Okay,
yeah.
so if
that way they
just
don't miss it. If they miss it, then you have to call somebody. You probably have to pay a fee for that.
Okay, that's as we discussed earlier. But if you're a member of American, nothing really to do.
Not really. I mean, if you're only a member of that one program, you don't have to do anything in particular. But if you are a member of U.S. Airways, you definitely do, or both. You absolutely have to.
Okay. Good information as always. Let's go back to the phones and Brian in Madison. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a son who's going to be doing a study abroad, and the wife and I are going to go over to Italy, which we're quite excited about, and I was able to get frequent flyer tickets into Zurich. And so we are going to purchase Italia tickets, Zurich to Rome, and that's about a $200 ticket. That's not too bad. But to bring the son back with us, we face two things. One, his school said there's a fee to just throw away the return half of the ticket. And we just said, well, he's going to travel with us. He just won't be with you. It seems crazy that we'd pay more for that. And then secondly, when we ticket him from Rome up to Zurich to connect with our frequent flyer ticket coming back, I'd like to just throw away that second half of the ticket again, because it's $1,000 one way, Rome to Zurich, but round trip, as I said, is about $200. And my question is there any real problem if we don't have a long-term relationship with Italia Airlines to just throw away those back half of tickets?
That's a great question.
Well, yeah, I'm officially a travel agent, so I have to be careful what I say here. But if you're doing extremely high one-way tickets, like if you're actually doing the segment between the United States and Europe, here's what I would say: always plan on returning, even if you can't. And if you plan on returning and you can't, just let them know that you can't, and they'll remove the change fee from your ticket, and your ticket will actually still have residual value. But make sure and contact them to let them know.
Okay. So just contact and say, hey, our plans have changed. We can't make the return flight. Is there any value? And then even if they say no, I'm well ahead.
Yeah, if the value of your ticket that was left on that half of the ticket was less than $200, there probably won't be any value left. But if it was more than $200, you'd still have some value. And as the previous caller noted, that would be attached to the name of the person that was on the ticket. They would have another year to use that as a discount coupon.
Okay, so we'll do it that way. Very good. Thank you.
All right, sure. Thanks. And have fun in Italy, Brian. It's always good to have a kid to go visit, I have to say.
Especially in Italy.
Well, yeah. And, well, I've got one in Montreal, and that's been a lot of fun, too.
Absolutely. I'm good with that, too.
Staying on the European topic there, right now the dollar is very strong against the euro. Actually, On Point did a show just 2 days ago about the mighty dollar, the super dollar right now. And we had a couple questions that kind of go along with that. You've mentioned in the past that there's a very high fuel surcharge in effect for European flights, Rick. Do you see any changes to this in time for summer travel or fall travel this year?
I was hoping for it when we talked last time, I think a month ago. I was hoping that the airlines might. It's actually I'm getting some sense that it's a little softer than I thought. The demand I thought was going to be really high, so I think ticket prices have dropped. Our data shows about 1 or 2%, which doesn't seem like a lot, but you know, that's pretty good. The average fuel surcharge to Europe right now is $455. That has not changed in the last month. I was hoping that would drop down a little bit. But I think the longer you wait, as you get into a little bit later in the summer, and especially in mid to late August trips and those going in the fall, you'll see those prices drop, not only seasonally, but also with the cost of fuel if it continues to stay at this level.
And then Jim in Mequon asked, he said, our 2-week trip to France and Greece will need to be delayed until summer of 2017. Is it advisable? So that's 2 years off.
Wow.
Is it advisable to buy about $1,000 worth of euros now when the prices are down? And I think I heard on Marketplace the other day that it's one the euro is 106 compared to the dollar. That's the lowest I've seen it.
It's been bouncing around between 104 and 108 lately.
That's the lowest I've seen in a long time.
I've never even had that question where somebody was traveling 2 years from now and basically looking at doing a currency exchange. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have actually thought about it too much, but certainly, you know, historically, if you look at the euro, it's been about $1.25 to $1.40. So in theory, you could get a 25% or 30% discount. I would treat that more as an investment, though.
Right, right. All right, let's go back to the phones and Clark in West Bend. Hi, Clark.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
We're thinking of taking a trip to Costa Rica, and actually there's a tour there that's a nine-day tour. And we looked at what the weather was like, and it looks like the rainy season is, it's not raining now. And the rainy season lets up, looks like, in late November or December. So that's when we're thinking of going. So
yeah, no, it's a perfect
the fact that it's a nine-day tour, I don't know if that affects the flights. And then the second thing is, how far in advance did you get a ticket like that?
Right. So you definitely have the rainy monsoon season during the summertime. If you can, you want to go at the tail end of that, which is perfect time, October, November time frame, especially if you have some flexibility there. Which airport are you flying out of?
Which airport would you fly out of, Clark?
No, we lost him.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe Milwaukee.
Yeah, so if it was Milwaukee, you know, the average ticket price right now is running for that time frame. By the way, you're a little bit early for buying. If you're buying for late October, November, you need to wait to about 4.5 months beforehand to start looking for that ticket. 4.5 to 5 months is what we typically would recommend for international tickets, way too early right now. But that ticket runs in the $600 to $800 range. And, I see some ticket prices at like $680 or so at the moment for some closer end dates, like in May and June. So it's also at $800 right now for those dates. You want to wait a little bit before you buy that ticket. There's actually two airports you can fly into, San Jose and Liberia, so you want to check both those airports when you're shopping. But you should be able to find that ticket at that time of year, which is pretty much off-season, in that $600 range.
Great. Enjoy that trip, Clark. Let's go back to the phones, and Fred in Menominee is up. Hi, Fred.
Hi there. My wife and I are going to be going to Bordeaux in mid-September, and we're wondering when the best time would be to buy airline tickets.
Well, perfect. You're actually going in the perfect time, in my opinion, to go to Europe, which is the month of September. That's when Oktoberfest is in Germany. I have family in Austria, so I've been there many times. It's a perfect time to go for a couple reasons. In the last week in August, the prices dropped by about 20% for departures after August 23rd. So you're going at a perfect time. Mm-hmm. You should start shopping, like I just mentioned, about 4.5 to 5 months before departure. That's when you want to start shopping. You're just slightly early right now. So I'd be shopping in about a month or so from now, and you still have a window. You want to buy it no later than about 3 months before departure. You should be looking in that range, depending on where you're flying into. I'm assuming you're flying through Paris in that particular case, but you don't really have to. Depends on where you're going to finally end up. The main transit points, if you can bypass London Heathrow, there's an additional $70 charge just for connecting or going through London Heathrow.
Really?
So going through Paris or going through Amsterdam or through Frankfurt, for example, are going to be cheaper on your connecting flight.
Okay. Our endpoint is actually Sarlat, which is about 2 hours from Bordeaux, and it looked like the best airport to be trying to get into without having to drive all the way across France.
Yeah, the transit's an extensive train system,
mm-hmm.
too, you could look
That's
at
what
as
I was
well.
Gonna
I've
say.
Been on it many times.
Great. Well, have a wonderful time, Fred. And that is a very nice time of year to be in Europe, as you were saying, Rick.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have kids in school. They want to take their kids, and it's just not feasible. That's why you see the prices drop, because that's mm-hmm. when, you know, usually the last week in August is when most schools start to begin.
Dawn from Madison sent us an email. She says, I want to travel to Italy, flying into Milan in mid-September this year. When should I buy my ticket? And is there a layover location, if needed, that is preferred over others?
Well, we just talked about this similar trip to France. It would almost be the same applicable. The one thing I didn't mention is if you travel on Monday through Thursday, it's called midweek pricing versus weekend pricing, typically about $40 each way cheaper. So if you can leave on a Monday through a Thursday, and also for those folks that I know people like to stay longer than a week, just be careful. You have to stay at least a Saturday night. Most of these tickets have a Saturday night stay rule. So if you're leaving Sunday, coming back Saturday, that does not include a Saturday night.
Right. And she wanted to know about preferred layover locations. I know, Rick, you've probably had a lot of layovers in your life.
I have, unfortunately. you know, Milan is actually sort of in the central northern part of Italy. So, you know, if you're flying into those locations, really there's only a handful of airports where most of the flights are going through. They're going through London Heathrow, they're going through Paris, they're going through Amsterdam, and they're going through Frankfurt. Typically, you don't fly nonstop into Italy, into Rome, unless you're leaving from the New York area and connecting from that area. So if I was going to pick any of those, if you do have a nonstop into Switzerland, it's a lot closer. That'd be nice to do as well. But I would stay away from London Heathrow. That's the one that we're going to get that upcharge for they're doing for the airport.
And why is that?
They call it a luxury fee for going through the airport. So it's just a form of a new tax that showed up. And in fact, if you transit, if you can, through Dublin, for example, if you fly out of Chicago, it's easier to do that. Those airport fees are actually waived, so it's much cheaper to transit through there.
Great. Here's a fun question. Dan from Appleton says, I would love to fly on a 787 Dreamliner. I understand that airlines move these planes to domestic flights. Where can I find out what flights those are on those planes?
Absolutely, yeah. So American Airlines just took delivery of a couple of those planes, and they're actually going to be flying them domestically to give their pilots and flight attendants some time. They're actually been touch and go between Dallas and Amarillo here in Texas.
And tell us about the Dreamliner.
Yeah, the Dreamliner, or what the nomenclature would be, the 787, the Boeing 787, is a brand new, spanking new composite aircraft. It's all made out of all composite materials. It's really one of the coolest aircraft. I haven't got to fly on it yet. I was originally scheduled to fly on the very first flight, and it was delayed 3 years.
Oh. And you were waiting in the airport.
I was waiting. That was one of those long layovers.
Yeah.
And so the plane, as you come into the particular aircraft, it's got some cool features. It doesn't have any shades, because when you actually touch a button, it actually, the monochromatically changes the tinting in the windows. It's got a much bigger vaulted ceiling, much bigger bin space. And the cool thing about the aircraft is it's going to allow airlines to fly nonstop, 13-hour trips from smaller locations, because it's not as big as many people it doesn't carry as many people as the 777. So they can actually, for example, I see that they're going to probably put one on from Austin to Europe, which is very unusual for airlines to go from sort of a smaller city in a particular one. And most of the airlines, United, American, I believe Delta also has some coming as well. And they're going to start, what you'll see is a lot more nonstops to places you've never been before. I've seen some new ones to Shanghai, for example. We see some new ones to Buenos Aires on the Dreamliner. If you come to our site, there's a page actually that shows many of the routes. You can try to find one. But when they do fly it domestically, like it's on American, we have a page for that, and you can see what dates they start.
Oh, that's perfect. So faircompare.com, and then just do a search for Dreamliner or 787.
Or 787.
Great. Oh, that sounds kind of exciting. I think I need to check that out. Let's go back to the phones and Alan in Camden, Minnesota. Hi, Alan.
Oh, hi, Judith. Camden, Maine.
Oh, Camden, Maine. Sorry about that. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. We are planning a trip to Dublin, and my wife is originally from Ireland, and we used to fly there quite a bit from Chicago, but we're now living in Maine, and I'm looking for some advice as far as, is Tuesday afternoon a good time to book, and, you know, are there certain days of the week? Wednesday is, I think, when we're planning on leaving.
So Wednesday, like as I said earlier, Monday through Thursday are the cheapest days to fly. There's a discount, what's called midweek pricing for that. Weekend pricing is a little bit higher. So perfect that you're leaving on a Wednesday. There is, when you go to Dublin, if you have Aer Lingus on your route, which you had when you were in Chicago, that drove the price down, as well as the smaller airport fees in Dublin. So if you transit through Boston, which it sounds like that's probably what you're going to do, or through New York, depending. I'm not super familiar with where Camden is in Maine.
It's mid-coast.
Yeah, mid-coast. So you probably connect in one of those two cities. If you connect up and try Aer Lingus, if that's your final destination and you're flying back, that would be typically Aer Lingus is a little bit less than the rest of the airlines, but sometimes they force to match. I'm looking, for example, out of Boston right now. I see tickets, you know, in the low $800 round trip out of Boston to Dublin. So that's a pretty good deal during that time frame.
And Alan's going in August, so that's about 5 months off. So he's getting close to that window.
Yeah, he's right at that close to that window. I would go ahead and kick the tires today, take a look at the tickets. And, you know, if you see anything in the low 800s to 850 range, that I would snap it up as quickly as possible. Last year, those same tickets were over $1,000.
All right. Thanks for that call, Alan. And next, Steve in Scandinavia. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi. We're looking at taking a trip to Singapore to visit my daughter, and we're going to be trying to go just before Christmas time and then staying pretty much all through January. We can leave just about any time at the end of January. So I've got a couple of questions. Sure. Best time to look for flights, price to expect, maybe best place to fly out. We live in central Wisconsin right now, and go from there, I guess.
Yeah, so a couple things. Yeah, so you basically have the best thing to do is to fly out of a big hub airport. So you basically have two choices, Minneapolis or Chicago, in that basic area, depending on which one is closer to you. Otherwise, if you leave out of Milwaukee, you'll connect on the West Coast. Either way, if you're looking for one stops, which is going to be, if you're flying out of one of these big hub airports, you won't be able to actually get all the way to Singapore on any nonstop flights. Then what I would do is take a look at, if you look at United, Delta, and American, basically your three choices. If you're going out of Minneapolis, Delta is going to have much more carry. If you're going out of Chicago, American and United are your best choices. You're looking at, historically during that time frame, about the $1,400 to $1,500 round trip range in coach. Now, I will warn you, that trip is going to be about somewhere close to 28 to 29 hours by the time you take off in total duration time.
Yeah, it was, I think when we went to Malaysia, it was 27 hours door-to-door.
Approximately, yeah. So here's what I do when I take that trip. I typically spend the night in Los Angeles by a domestic ticket out of Los Angeles, because out of Los Angeles area, and sometimes out of the San Francisco area, the ticket prices to Singapore are way down, and sometimes you can find that ticket on Singapore Airlines. Mm-hmm. And you can find that nonstop flight, it's on an Airbus A380, which is the huge jumbo aircraft, and much better experience going that way if you can go nonstop for the coast and prepare. That cuts down the travel time by about 6 or 7 hours.
Nice. Well, despite the distance, it's definitely worth a trip there. It's a really fascinating place.
I haven't been there since the new casino was built on top of those two buildings, yeah. But it was in construction the last time I was there.
Well, thanks for that call, Steve. And quick question from David in Eau Claire. We can fit in. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. Hi, I'm flying from Eau Claire to Atlanta, Georgia for the 4th of July weekend, and I bought a ticket back in December for a week from Tuesday to Tuesday, and I now need to shorten that trip to 3 days. Is that possible to do?
Yeah, you'll have to change your ticket. What airline did you pick it? Was the ticket on?
I think it was with United. I'm not positive.
All right. So that's a $200 change fee to change that ticket, and you need to change it as quickly as possible, because the longer you wait, that price is going to go up.
Okay. Boy, I've waited. I should have done it right away, but... Okay.
Yeah, so I would definitely take a look at, you're going to basically pay the difference between what the price you paid and the current retail price, whatever that is right now, minus the $200 change fee.
So he's going to pay the $200 change fee, and then, well, as you said, he's going to pay the difference, and then the $200 on top of that.
Will be subtracted, yeah.
Okay.
So whatever that amount is, it's typically more than $200.
Right. Right.
You'll have to pay that. So, but what you don't want to do is procrastinate and get it to where that ticket price, you know, slips inside of 30 days before departure when it really starts to go up.
And David, do you have to change both the departure and return, or just one?
Boy, I was thinking about changing both.
You can change both. It's the same fee.
It's just one fee.
It's not per segment, yeah. So okay. It's two. In fact, this needs to be the final time you change it. So if you're going to change the whole thing, please do that as well.
I bought it for a little over 400. Now it's at 600.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, that's what's going to happen is that half your trip was, let's say it was 200, right? So the half that you're, or the if you're changing it at 400, you'll be 200 minus that, so the difference will be $400 you'll have to pay to make that change.
Well, sorry about that, David, but get on that right away. And Rick, here we are, almost at the end again.
How does it go so quickly?
So, Rick, why don't you let people know where they can find Fair Compare online and what they can find there?
Sure, absolutely. You can find faircompare.com. It's FAREcompare.com. And, you know, basically what we do is we're on the Airline Ticket Stock Exchange. We're a bunch of tech geeks that get literally billions of bits of data every day and process it. And for one simple thing is to try to help people find the best time to buy their airline ticket and to save money. And that's what we're here for.
And you do that with us just about once a month, and we appreciate it. Rick, thanks so much.
Thanks, Judith.
And thank you for listening. Thanks to Dave Potras for being the on-air producer for this segment. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Tomorrow is Garden Talk, so I hope you'll join us then.